always be clear where you get your conservative talk.
The St. Louis Business Journal is now reporting that liberal billionaire George Soros is the largest shareholder of Odyssey,
the parent company of KMOX and 97.1 Talk.
Soros' maneuver raises critical questions about the future of media ownership and influence.
Money and attention is power. And when he has the money and he controls what's on the radio stations, he's going to be able to control the minds, essentially hundreds of millions of Americans.
St. Louis's trusted source and number one.
For conservative talk.
This is News Talk STL.
For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
It's a major decision from the Supreme Court that could have larger implications on gun laws nationwide. The justices have ruled that people who are under domestic violence restraining orders cannot possess a firearm.
So the court looked back at historical precedent from the 1700s and 1800s and found analogs, similar laws where people who posed a threat for some reason or another were disarmed. And that gave them the historical basis under the new framework, the new guidance from the court. To conclude that the Second Amendment allowed this federal law, which disarms a number of different people.
4:06 and welcome into the Tim Jones and Chris Arp show. It is one hot and sweltering day today. And you know, Joy Vasvich, I always complain about it being cold and how I wanted to be hot. So I'm not going to complain a lot about today, but it is one hot day. And according to KMOV Channel 4 there, we're going to have the next few days of 100-degree sweltering weather.
Well, I am house-sitting for the weekend for my family who happens to have a pool and a hot tub, so I'm just going to keep going back and forth.
Well, lucky you. Well, this is the time that I wish that my partner Tim Jones was with me today, because he is, of course, an attorney, a long-term attorney, as he says, and a former Speaker of the House. I would have loved to have gotten his opinion on this case here. It's called the United States versus Rahimi. It was an 8-1 decision. Justice Clarence Thomas was the only one who dissented in this case. It was nearly unanimous. And I guess the overreaching, overarching constitutional question is, can you take someone's constitutional right away from them without there being due process first? Because someone is under a restraining order, they haven't been convicted of any crime yet, can you take their weapon away from them? Now, on a strictly constitutional basis, I think that's the way Clarence Thomas is looking at it. I think you'd say not. But then you look at the other side of the coin, and here's someone that has been accused, hopefully credibly, of a domestic violent situation involving a firearm, and you want to keep that person and the person who is his target of his ire, you want to keep them out of harm's way, keep them out of harm's way, and try to protect them. So it's a very, very, very difficult situation, but the court has ruled in an 8-1 decision. Again, Justice Clarence Thomas, he was the one that the one justice who dissented, have ruled that a person's firearm can be taken away from them. Was this Chief Justice Roberts? He wrote the decision here. He said, Since the founding, our nation's firearms laws have included provisions preventing individuals who threaten physical harm to others from misusing firearms. The federal statute at hand fits comfortably within this tradition. And accordingly, Thomas, he slammed the majority for being too loose with their reading of the historical record, as well as for denying a constitutional right to people, as I said, who have not been actually convicted of crime. So that is a case that I'm sure is not going to be settled in people's minds anytime soon. We've had this discussion many, many times here on this radio station in the last few years about red flag laws and in terms of due process. This is a decision that will not sit well with many Second Amendment advocates. And we will be talking about this in the weeks and days and months to come here on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp show. Joey, we got a big show today. This is one of those shows where you need to really just buckle up, have your seatbelt on, because we are packed full of guests, which usually in a 2-hour time frame makes a pretty quick show. Coming up at 4:24, we're going to speak with Colonel United States Air Force retired Ed Hamill. He is the owner of Flatstick LLC, which is a part of the Folds of Honor biplane, and he will be at the air show at downtown St. Louis on the 4th of July. We will talk about his service. We'll talk about the air show, of course, and we'll also talk about the charity Folds of Honor and how his exploits, flying in the biplane, how that helps raise money for a very worthy cause. At 4:45, a new friend of mine from Jefferson County, Cecily Williams. She's a candidate for state representative, District 111. I've known her about 6 weeks now, and she is running for office, has a great story, and these are the type of people I believe that should be in the legislature, because they're not trying to just be there to achieve power or status or fame. These are people that see their schools, they see their community, they see their state and country not doing as well as it should, and they can't sit idly by and watch it, so they want to get involved in the process. So we'll speak with Cecily Williams at 4:45. At 5:07, we'll have our good friend Rick Pogue and Jake Kastner from Johnny's Hideout out there in High Ridge. Of course, we'll talk about our big presidential debate party that we'll have on the 27th. Tim and I will be doing our show out at Johnny's inside, because it's going to be so hot that we will probably melt. So they've decided to bring the show inside. We'll do it there. Afterwards, we will start the party, basically, and we will watch the debate between President Biden and President Trump. President Biden is in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. He's been there for the last 2 days at his beach house. And Joey, they are saying that, he will not be coming back to Washington, D.C. He's going to spend the next 8 days doing debate prep and resting.
You know, a lot of vacation homes down in the Gulf area have just been swept away. So I'm glad that Biden is hanging out in his, holding on tight, making sure no tropical storm takes it.
And doing debate prep at the same time, and running the free world as leader of the free world. So Joe Biden, 81-year-old man who has a lot on his shoulders, doing debate prep for the next 8 days at the beach house. And of course, at 5:24, we'll speak with our good friend, Dr. Aaron Hudland. He's the chief economist at the Shulman Institute. He's also a former chief domestic economist and senior advisor at the White House Council of Economic Advisors. We'll talk to him about the economic news. The stock market right now is booming and setting records. Is that a good thing long term for the economy in terms of inflation? We'll talk to him about the Fed's possibly not raising rates this year. We'll talk to him about a whole host of economic, banking, and finance news with Dr. Aaron Hudland at 5:24. 4:13 on this sweltering Friday. You know, I heard this morning Susie Moore, from Deputy Managing Editor of Red State, talking about that there are still a number of cases that the Supreme Court still has to decide. She believes that most of them will be announced next Thursday or Friday. Of course, the big case is the January 6th immunity case. Does President Trump have full or partial immunity? The court will decide that probably next week. And not only will that decision affect Donald Trump, but it will also affect a number of J6 prisoners who have been languishing in jail for many, many months now. Joy, you remember a few months back we spoke to one of those J6 prisoners, talking about his ordeal. I think we had exactly about 12 minutes. And then we got a recording, didn't we?
The inmate you are speaking to has run out of time.
Exactly.
Which we knew was going to happen, but that's kind of great radio, to make him feel bad.
It was. And it was kind of weird because, you know, you weren't really like expecting it. You know, you're just like, oh, we'll get in enough time and, you know, and we won't hear that recording. And just hearing that was like, wow, yeah, this is real. This is not something that's a phone here. He is a J6 prisoner languishing in jail for months now.
Yeah, our friend Mark McCloskey, he loves helping out the J6 prisoners. If you ever check out Mark McCloskey on Friday, I'm sorry, on Sundays at 5, he's always got someone on who's either been affected, a mom, or someone who's actually in prison. So, yeah, we love having Mark McCloskey. We just saw him.
Was yeah, we did. Just saw him walking out there. Mm-hmm. Another big case today was really unbelievable in a sense. I mean, people, Republicans, conservatives, on conservative talk radio and television talk about two tiers of justice system, two-tier justice system, excuse me, and the media and leftists and progressives will look at us like we have three eyes or a horn growing in the middle of their head. What are you talking about? This is just right-wing propaganda, of course. Well, today, the Manhattan District Attorney, Alvin Bragg, dropped charges against more than two dozen protesters after they ransacked a campus building at Columbia University during the anti-Israel protests. Protesters covered security cameras inside Hamilton Hall when they took control of it, and that is one of the reasons the district attorney is giving for dropping the cases on many of these protesters, because there's a lack of evidence, because they don't show any identifiable individuals committing property damage because they covered up the cameras, Joy. But 13 other protesters, of course, they could identify them. The DA has offered to drop charges against those protesters if they are not arrested again in the next 6 months. But unfortunately, Joy, they want to go out as martyrs. None of them accepted the proposal setting up a return to court next month. Now, I can see some devil's advocate saying you can't compare this. You know, Alvin Bragg is bringing a case against Donald Trump for misusing the campaign laws and all of that. They'll say that you can't compare this because, first of all, these are kids that are idealistic and they are exercising maybe a little too strongly their First Amendment rights. And so we don't want to saddle them with a criminal record or a mark on their academic record that could scar them for life when it comes to job prospects or anything of that like. So we can cut them some slack. That's all Alvin Bragg is doing. He's not perpetrating a two-tier justice system. I don't believe that at all. I think they're going to make that argument that they don't want these students having a blight on their record. But, you know, I think the Manhattan District Attorney probably harbors the same type of sentiments towards Israel as these protesters. And I also think that Joe Biden, of course, is having a great deal of trouble with young people, college educated young people, with Arab Americans, especially in Michigan. And we know that the Manhattan District Attorney and the Biden Justice Department, we know they are in cahoots. I mean, you have someone from the Justice Department that takes a temporary leave and goes on and works on the case with Alvin Bragg. I mean, if that doesn't spell cahoots, I don't know what is. And so I think that wink, wink, nod, nod, I don't think Alvin Bragg was specifically told to drop the charges on these student protesters, but he knows what to do. He knows that this will hurt, in effect, Joe Biden. So they're dropping the charges against these protesters, but it sure does add more fuel to the fire that there is a two-tier justice system. Big announcement today, next month, and this has been wrangling around Washington for weeks now, trying to set a date for when Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will address a joint session of Congress. They have finally picked a date. It is July 24th. It is very, very controversial. You've had several Democrats have said they will boycott Netanyahu's speech. One of them, the latest, is Elizabeth Warren. She said yesterday she will boycott the speech. Of course, Senator Bernie Sanders was one of the earliest senators, politicians, to say they will not come to the speech. So, yeah. tough situation there for Democrats. Chuck Schumer, who is a leader of the Senate and who is himself Jewish, he has not made up his mind whether he's going to attend the speech or not. So Democrats in a tough spot, and as conservatives here and Republicans, we absolutely love that. Coming up, we're going to speak with Ed Hamill. He's a United States Air Force retired colonel. We're going to talk to him about the coming air show, Air St. Louis, and we will talk about the charity that he helps with, Folds of Honor. You are listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
This morning, the FAA is investigating after a Southwest Airlines plane dropped to roughly 525 feet before making it to the runway. The Boeing 737 making its approach into the Oklahoma City airport just after midnight Wednesday. A low altitude alarm alerted air traffic control, which contacted the cockpit.
The air traffic controller in the tower saved the day by telling them, check your altitude. They were descending over the prairie, so there was no lights, there were no visual reference. It was essentially descending over a black hole. So they were looking out at the lights of Oklahoma City, looking for the airport. And for some reason, they missed that assigned altitude.
425 on the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. Joey knew our next guest. He flies at 500 feet all the time, but probably not in those type of circumstances. On the line with us is Ed Hamill. He's a colonel with the United States Air Force. He is retired, and he is also part of the charity Folds of Honor, and he is president of Flatstick LLC. Ed, welcome to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show.
Thanks for having me, Chris. Appreciate it.
Excellent, excellent. Now, you know, I know we're talking about the fair and about the charity and everything, but that clip that you heard from just your initial assessment as an experienced pilot, what do you think of that?
Oh, I don't know. I've learned a long time ago in aviation that if you don't know the details, it's best just to take the no comment route. You know, there's usually when you... Usually there's a lot of extenuating circumstances, or it could be stuff going on that you don't even know what there is. So, yeah, I really don't have much to say about that. I just heard about it for the first time myself.
All right, Ed, let's talk about Fair St. Louis, where you will be performing at the air show. I've done a little reading on your bio. It seems that you were retired for a little bit as a air show performer, but you are making a comeback. Tell us about that, and tell us about the charity Folds of Honor.
Yeah, you know, the Folds of Honor is an organization that I partner with, and it was founded by a good friend of mine, Lieutenant Colonel Dan Rooney, who was a student coming through an F-16 squadron that I was an instructor in back in 2001. And that's when I first met Dan. And so I knew him several years before he started Folds of Honor in 2007. And I did have a pretty good career flying air shows. I was full-time kind of making my living at it from 03 to 2003 to 2009 with a previous big sponsor. And then I kind of hung it up and dove back into military service. I was a reservist, and I could go part-time or I could pick up full-time orders. And I went back and forth and did a lot of full-time orders until I retired in 2019. So after about 2009, I decided to focus on military and really dive back in. And I had finished up flying in the F-16. I had 20 years of flying the F-16, which was awesome. And then I spent another 10 years doing non-flying staff level positions until I retired in 2019. So I was done with air shows. It was a great chapter in my life, but I was still involved in coaching and mentoring new pilots coming on board. And I actually got a few years of experience organizing and being part of a staff that was putting on air shows. So it was kind of really a chance to branch out. And then I started flying my biplane again with no intentions of flying air shows until a private donor stepped up and said, "Hey, I know you're real passionate about Folds of Honor. And I know you have your biplane and you're flying a lot. So let's brand it the Folds of Honor biplane and see where it goes. And my response was, nope, that was a chapter. I'm done. No more air shows for me. I'm done. And it was the mission at Folds of Honor and the partnership and the ability to raise awareness and just tell people about what Folds of Honor does using my biplane that has motivated me and gave me a real passion to get back into the performing side of the business.
Speaking with Ed Hamill, he's United States Air Force Colonel. He's retired. He is with the organization Folds of Honor. One of the things Folds of Honor does, Ed, is they provide academic scholarships to the families of fallen or disabled military members. Talk a little bit more about that. And do you know how many families have been served so far since the beginning of this organization?
Sure do. Since 2007, Folds of Honor has given out more than 52,000 scholarships worth over $244 million to families of mostly military, of fallen and disabled military. And last year, they expanded to families of fallen and disabled first responders. And that's really taken off and expanded their reach and their ability to provide more, you know, real life-changing educational scholarships. One of the things I love about the organization itself is that 91% or 91 cents of every dollar goes directly to scholarships. So they've averaged 9 to 10% of admin overhead since the beginning of 2007. And I really like that part of it because you know that the majority of what you're donating to Folds of Honor is going directly to what you're donating it for, and they really minimize the overhead. And 45% of the recipients are minorities, and that part is a real testament to who they're, you know, just it takes care of everybody. And I love it. I mean, I've been real passionate. I've known some friends that that were killed in action, and their families have benefited and gotten the scholarships. One in particular, he was married with five kids. And the veteran, you know, the VA benefits are great, but it doesn't, it falls a little short when you have a family of five. And that's where Folds of Honor steps in and takes care of everybody who applies for scholarships. There's no limit. There's five kids or more or less. You know, their motto is to honor their sacrifice and educate their legacy, and that is exactly what Folds of Honor does.
Speaking with Ed Hamill, he is with the organization Folds of Honor. He's a colonel, retired with the United States Air Force. Ed, talk about your book, Living the Dream. Very interesting here, the pictures that look like that you have been able to take.
Well, I've always tell people that I had a dark room and a camera way before I ever flew an airplane. So I'm one of those frustrated professional, you know, award winning photographers. No, I'm joking, but I love photography. So when I was full time in the airshow circuit between 03 and 09, we used to mount a digital SLR. It was actually a Canon Mark II, and we would mount that physically forward of the canopy, so it was out in the windstream, and we had it wired, so I had the trigger on the throttle, and we would put it we mounted in the same spot on the airplane, and it would get those images that you can see on the website, or there's an ebook that you can get. I'm not doing that to sell books. I just do that because it's a great marketing tool, and I love the images that we got. So after a few years of getting all these images, I just decided one day to put together this Kramer-style coffee table book, if you will. And, you know, that was fun. That was great for gifts and to help spread the word with my previous sponsor and what I do. So, photography is a love of mine. Almost as much as golf.
All right. Let's talk about these biplanes. One, how old are these planes that you're flying? And two, explain the physics behind the biplane with the wing of one on top of each other like that.
Well, the plane that I fly is a Pitt Special. It was a factory built airplane in '99. However, the design dates back to the 50s and 60s of this particular plane. My biplane was built specifically for competition aerobatics, and that's where you'll find a lot of airshow pilots. They started their career flying competition aerobatics, which is still active. There's still a lot of competition aerobatics all over the country. From the you can be involved as a beginner with no experience to the unlimited level flying of the airshow, high energy sky dancing type of flying that we do in the air shows, and what we'll be doing on the 4th of July and over the river in front of the arch. And so my plane, you know, I love the biplane. Because it's an old and tested design with fabric covered wings and fly wires, and it's very structurally sound. However, there are monoplanes that are composite and they're higher performing and they maintain their energy better. But for me, with the biplane, when I was a kid going to air shows and I'd walk on the flight line and see all the airplanes on static display, and if they were all lined up, I'd see all the monoplanes, all the single-wing airplanes, and then I'd see the biplane, whether it was a Stearman or a Pitts like mine or a Skybolt or any biplane out there, and I would just kind of gravitate towards the biplane. And so for me, it's all about the kids and whatever inspires the kids to do whatever they want, whether it's fly an airplane or be a firefighter or a cop or a doctor. It just inspires them to set goals because they look at it and they just see, hopefully they see what we do in the air, and they know that it took a lot of work and a lot of practice, and hopefully it inspires them to set goals and work hard and never give up.
Well, we know that you're going to be inspiring a lot of people on July 4th at the Celebrate St. Louis Festival that is going to be downtown. The air show starts at 2 p.m. What type of maneuvers should people be expecting to see you perform, and what is the most trickiest maneuver that you do?
Well, I'm glad you're mentioning that because I cannot wait to get back. I think the last time I flew this air show was in 2005.
All right.
And to me, so it was formerly a different name, and now it is Celebrate St. Louis.
Yeah, used to be Fair St. Louis.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And now it's Celebrate St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be tied together with several events throughout the year, and that's why they're moving to a different name. So you'll see the word or the phrase Celebrate St. Louis used throughout the year, and it won't just be tied specifically to the 4th of July. And it's what a unique, awesome venue to fly right over the river between the Eads and the Eads Bridge. And then the other one, I forget the name of it.
Poplar, Joey?
We've got the Stan Musial as well, the Stan Musial Veterans Memorial. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so, and I know they did a bunch of renovation down there at the park underneath the arch. So the maneuvers, you know, everybody's going to be doing similar maneuvers, some better than others. But for me, my maneuvers, whether it's rolls or tumbles or corkscrew type maneuvers or vertical up or vertical down or any kind of a humpty bump, anything where you, the one maneuver, you know, it appears that the airplane's hovering and it might be moving a little bit across the ground, but it pretty much stands still in the sky because of all the horsepower that I have. But what I do is I use my maneuvers and the music and the narration to tell a story. Wife and my daughter and my son, my wife and daughter are part of the team. So is my son. But my daughter's going to be working this show, and my show and narration, it has a message, and I'll admit you will feel like you've listened to a 9-minute infomercial for Folds of Honor. But what we do is we celebrate the American family, and that is what we talk about, is the family support and doing whatever you want to do, and how the family is so important in succeeding in life and being happy. So what I talk about with people is I've been very fortunate with the F-16 career and all the air shows that I've done, and I fly for a major airline. I always say with nothing to prove and everything to give back, let's barnstorm across America and celebrate the American family and raise awareness for Folds of Honor, which is a real big supporter and really does everything for the family that supports us in so many ways.
Colonel, what's the name of the maneuver where you guys fly straight up in the air and then the plane drops like the engine is stalled or something and then you recover? Do you do that maneuver?
I do. So there's one maneuver that was invented by a very famous air show pilot named Charlie Hillard. And in 1973, he was in the World Aerobatic Championships. And there was a freestyle part of each competition where you can go up and just show the judges any maneuver that you can come up with. It's not very structured. Mm-hmm. Let's see something new. So he went pure vertical. So he starts level and he pulls to vertical and he's rolling straight up. And then when the upward momentum stops and the airplane continues to roll as the airplane starts sliding backwards in the smoke that it just, but the airplane continues to turn and your airflow over the wings have stopped, if not reversed, but it still continues turning in the same direction. And that's, that is helped by the torque of the engine. Hmm. So we call it a torque roll. So.
That's one of the most scary ones when I see that.
Well, we have minimum altitudes. We do everything safe. We make sure we always have outs. But for me, I don't fly just a torque roll. I fly Trojan's torque roll. Mm. So Major Troy Trojan Gilbert was a friend of mine at Luke Air Force Base who was killed in action 2006. Mm. And I just, with the permission of his widow, his wife, I put names to most of my maneuvers, so that's the Trojan's torque roll for me.
Well, Colonel, you will have been saying you're going to be performing at July 4th at Celebrate St. Louis. The air show begins at 2 p.m. Also, you are with the organization Folds of Honor. Give folks a website if they want to get more information about Folds of Honor and the great work that you all do.
Yeah, if you go to foldsofhonor.org, then you'll get all the information and you'll have an opportunity to either make a one-time donation. They also have a program called The Squadron, which is a $13 a month recurring donation. So if you join The Squadron, you can really make a big difference in helping to provide a life-changing education. So foldsofhonor.org. If you want more flying videos, I have them all linked on my website, which is edhamel.com. And I also have a link to Folds of Honor on edhamel.com. So the big one is foldsofhonor.org because everything I do points in their direction.
Colonel, thank you so much for your service to our nation, and thank you for giving back and helping with this organization, Folds of Honor, and hope that you have a great time here in St. Louis and a successful show.
Hey, well, thank you very much for your time. I appreciate everything you do as well.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Again, if you want to get more information at foldsofhonor.com, Ed's website, personal website is edhamel.com. And if you want more information about Celebrate St. Louis, the July 4th festival downtown, that is celebratestlouis.org. There's going to be festivities all day, 10 a.m., America's Birthday Parade at 12 p.m. There's a Boulevard and Family Fun Zone at 12:30. Fox Performing Arts Charitable Foundation Teen Talent Performance. At 2 p.m., of course, is the Air Show. 4 p.m., the Eads Bridge 150th Anniversary Celebration. Did not know the bridge was that old. At 4:15 to 9:40, live music under the arch. And at 9:40, a fireworks spectacular framed by the Gateway Arch. That is Celebrate St. Louis this July 4th. Ed Hamel will be performing. You are listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show. Up next is Cecily Williams, a candidate for State Representative District 111. You're listening to 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
I'm really thrilled today to have in the studio with me a good friend now, I would say. I've known her about a month now, but I feel like I've known her forever. She is Cecily Williams. She is a candidate for State Representative District 111. Cecily, I got to tell you, I saw you at a candidate forum last week, and you had a lot of people there with you with the T-shirts on, and you've got a lot of people with you today. Everywhere you go, you have an entourage. What's up with that?
Yeah, I have a lot of really great support. Thank you for inviting me to being on here. We have just an amazing support group. A lot of people that are here to help make sure that we push this through. It's not just the support for me, but it's the support for our district also. Mm-hmm. You know, they're wanting and needing a change. And so it's easy to get behind someone that they can trust and that they can, you know who's going to help push change in our district.
And I want to thank you for driving from Jefferson County to the studio today. I've been spending a lot of time out in Jefferson County lately, and I got to tell you, Jeffco is beautiful. It's a very beautiful county, and I appreciate you taking the drive and coming down to the studio to talk with us. What I ask all candidates is, first of all, I've been involved in politics about 25 years, and I know it's a crazy mixed up business, and I ask people, why are you want to get involved in this crazy business?
You know, that's a question I might get asked a lot. Why would you want to be involved? I don't like politics. So, you know, that's what people will say, but how are you supposed to promote change if you're not involved? You know, there, whether it be at your school board level, your school district level, your businesses, local community, volunteer organizations. If you want to be the change, you have to do the change, right? Mm-hmm. So that's one of the biggest things. You know, I decided to run. You know, I'm really big. I want to help develop safer communities, protect our conservative family values. That's one of my biggest things right now. I feel like our conservative family values are under attack. We've got people who have created their own personal agenda. We've got these woke ideas that are within our school districts that are affecting our family, you know, our family conservative values that are important to Missouri and America. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, so it's something I feel strongly about. Mm-hmm. I'm a small business owner, so, you know, protecting and promoting, you know, pro business and limited government as well, which I think is a lot of the typical politics, the political feelings when it comes to Republicans and our conservative mind likeness.
Right.
The protection of our personal liberties and God-given rights. I think those are important. You know, we need to, I think right now with the Second Amendment, you know, coming down with the red flag laws, you know, that's something that's really important that we protect our Second Amendment rights, you know, as the Constitution says, they should not be infringed upon. And I feel like, you know, the fact that we have to constantly protect something that is just one of our, you know, our, it's within our Constitution. It's, you know, something that should never be infringed upon. And, you know, it seems like that's the one thing that we have a lot of the liberals that tend to, that's what they go towards, is attack on our Second Amendment rights.
Let me ask you this. Mm-hmm. You mentioned liberal, and as I said, you were at a candidate forum that I attended last week. Now, usually when you go to a candidate forum, especially of the same party, most of the people, they pretty much have the same views. They're not much change. But with your opponent, which really I noticed, you called out a contrast between you and your opponent. Talk about what that was.
Yeah. So, I mean, this week, right? I mean, I have gotten a lot of phone calls regarding that debate specifically because I was able to call out my opponent on the situations that he has voted upon. Currently, he's the incumbent. He has taken some really poor votes that do not protect our children.
Like what are some?
So one of them was he voted in support of allowing boys and girls sports in the state of Missouri on the high school level and the collegiate level. That is something that, you know, we need to protect.
Sure.
If you do your work, you know that males and females cannot compete. We cannot compete when it comes to sports. Our bodies are different. It is an unfair advantage to allow, opposite sex in women's sports. So we're not protecting our girls at that point. We're not protecting the women in college, in their sports. Why have women's sports if we can't compete?
You know, one thing that you pointed out too, and a number of candidates pointed this out too, the forum, that they wanted to go to Jeff City to actually get things done, not be involved with a bunch of rancor and name calling and infighting everything. And I think you expressed similar sentiments when you were at the forum.
Yeah. So, I mean, I feel like you know, we use this term loosely, this rhino, you know, who's a rhino, who's not a rhino, who's this and that. But when you're voting against conservative family values, you truly aren't. They're not Republican values. Mm-hmm. And we have to stay true. We have a due diligence to our conservatives, the ones who elect us. We have a due diligence to them to protect those values that they expect us to protect. School choice is one of those, you know, school choice, it's one of those, it's a hit or miss with Republicans. Some support it, some don't support it. I support school choice. One of the reasons why I support school choice is I feel like if you don't like the necessarily the curriculum, if your child has an IEP, if they have a 504 program, things like that, you can, if you're not liking the way the school district's handling certain situations or you feel like you're being ignored, you can choose another school for your child to go to that might have different opportunities. It goes deeper than that. We have an issue when it comes to bullying. Right now, it is, it's huge.
Everywhere, it seems like.
It is every, I mean, it's in adult workplaces, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we've got people who just cannot, who you can't get away from it. Oftentimes you're left going to administration, your principals, and sometimes those situations are falling on deaf ears.
Right.
With school choice, you would be able to protect your child and move them to a different school that, you know, might have more people and they could find a different social group, have less people, and they could, you know, be able to relate better to those other students and, you know, essentially save your child's life. Because when you look at, death amongst 10 to 19 year olds, the number one cause is accidents.
Sure.
Okay. Unintended accidents. The second cause of death is homicide or assault. But the third cause of death is suicide.
Yeah.
And it's even higher in seventh and eighth graders. If we were to just group those students out, you would see that it's an alarming rate.
Mm.
And I feel, you know, bullying happens within schools, and it's such a prevalent situation. And but being able as a parent to have that choice to send them to a different school would be important. So it goes further than curriculum. It goes further than, you know, opportunities not being there for your child because they play football or they play baseball, and you know, maybe they're not getting scouted like you want them to. So you want to send them to Rockwood or, you know, one of these other schools where they might have a better opportunity. It goes deeper than that. It goes, you know, to where you could save your child, your grandchild, your neighbor's, you know, your neighbor's life. It doesn't, you know, it is something that's important to me. And voting against it, I think, is voting against conservative family values as well.
We've been speaking with Cecily Williams. She's a candidate for state representative, state rep district 111. Before we get out of here, who do you got, who'd you bring with you?
So I have my campaign manager, Josh Williams.
All right, Josh, he's outside there taking pictures.
He is. And then my treasurer, Christina Williams.
All right, Christina.
And then their son, Hunter Williams, who's like a nephew to me. He does all of my social media stuff. So you see something on Facebook, it's usually him or his mom, Christina, who's doing it. Same last name, no relation.
Okay.
Just really great friends and people who love our district and Jefferson County that want to do what they can to protect.
Well, I love the color of those shirts, those pink Williams. Cecily Williams, Republican State Representative, State Rep District 111. Give folks the website if they want more information.
So citizensforcecilywilliams.com. Mm-hmm. You can look me up on Facebook, Cecily Williams for State Representative Missouri District 111. I'm always available for your personal questions.
And how many parades are you walking in the next couple of weeks?
A lot. We have a lot of things to get done.
Cecily Williams, Citizens for Cecily Williams, gmail.com is her contact information. Her website is also Cecily Williams.
Yep, Citizens for Cecily Williams.
.com. Thank you so much for coming
in. Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate it. When we come back, we'll speak with Rick Pogue and Jake Kastner, from Johnny's Hideout, and Dr. Aaron Hudlin at 524. You're listening to the Tim Jones and Chris Arp Show on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL, number one for live and local conservative talk.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.